Good morning. Well, I have been doing ministry for a number of years now, and besides at Ashworth, I have spent a lot of time with college students, as many of you know, at Drake and at DMAC and in different schools in Iowa. And I have what we call discipled many students, right? Teaching them about Jesus, helping them lead their friends to faith, helping them lead Bible studies in their dorm rooms, and teaching them about how to have impact on their campus and lifelong relationship with Jesus. And it's been a lot of fun. And over the years, there's been a number of students who I've spent time with, sitting across from at a coffee shop table, praying for them, listening to their life, and hearing what's going on, and praying for them, and with them, and helping them figure out what God's doing in them. And it's been my joy to have many disciples along the way over the years. And now I have a new disciple. And she's with me pretty regularly, so she has the opportunity to see me often. She watches me work. She watches me play and have fun. She watches me serve. And she watches me lose my cool. And she sees me make mistakes and screw up every now and then, or often. And it seems when she's around me, she's a really good listener. Well, she's always listening carefully, is how I should say it. A lot of times she'll say things, and I'll hear her say something. I'm like, wow, I told her that. I taught her that, or I've said that. That makes me so proud, you know? That's amazing. And other times she says things, and I think, oh, I said that. I taught her that. I should be careful about the words I use around my new disciple. She's very teachable, and it delights me because she loves to learn, and she's always learning when she's with me. But she's also very impressionable. So she doesn't always know when mom is doing something awesome versus when mom's doing something that's not so awesome and doesn't need to be replicated. She loves to mimic me because she's my disciple. My newest disciple is Pearl Becker, my 2.5-year-old. I have a little disciple that sits at my feet just about every day, watching what I do, listening to what I say, learning what matters to our family, learning what's important, learning what I love, right? This is bad. We drive past Target, and she's like, there's Target. She knows. She's like, I like that store. So me too. I'm like, good job, Pearl. She knows what I like. You know, every drink she calls Diet Coke, which is not good. She's like, Mommy, you want your Diet Coke? It's water. It's sparkling water. But she knows my true love, right? She is my little disciple, and she learns from me every day, day in and day out. I am leaving my mark on Pearl Becker in a daily way. And so with Pearl as being my new disciple, I enjoy her. I enjoy hearing from her. I enjoy hearing what she's learning. I enjoy talking to her. And it's so fun, but there are times where it's challenging. And so this morning, I'm going to share about those things. I want to share about what it means to be people who invest in our families and who have many disciples, right? You might have kids or grandkids that are in your life, but this morning's message is all about that, about investing in your family, leaving a mark on your family. So we started this series last week called Leave a Mark, and Brent kicked us off by talking about leaving a mark on a life. A lot of times when we think about leaving our mark in life, we think about, you know, our name on a building, like giving to something, or we think about a plot of land that we have, or we think about, there's all kinds of things that conjure up that idea of leaving a legacy. But oftentimes we don't think about it being on a life. And Brent was saying, in the kingdom of God, leaving your mark on a life is really more important than anything. And this morning I want to say that leaving your mark on your family is really important. And I'm going to share about that from my own experience, as little as it is, so bear with me. I am in the throes of this, like I said. I'm in the middle of watching Pearl and my mark being left on her. And in the last couple of weeks, I have, for whatever reason, I don't know why, they've kind of all come at once, but I've gotten a number of emails or text messages or little note cards that have said, Amy, you discipled me at one point in my life. They're from students from InterVarsity, the other ministry I do, and saying, thank you for sharing this with me. Thank you for praying for me. You know, this mattered. And I've been like, wow, where are these coming from? And it's delighted me and humbled me, and I've cried over a number of them. And then I had this aha moment where I was like, you know, in thinking about this message, I realized in moments with these students, they're moments that I've chosen to show myself, right? So they see me as campus minister Amy, right? I'm sitting across the table. We have a scheduled meeting to talk about their life and to pray together. Or they see me teaching like this, right? They see me teaching at a worship service on campus. Or we have a leadership event. All the circumstances where I've impacted them are like circumstances that I've chosen for them to watch and learn and listen, right? Pearl doesn't have that benefit. Pearl sees Mom Amy, everyday Amy, day in and day out. And I don't get to choose which interactions matter or which days matter, because I had a couple last week where I was like, hopefully that day doesn't count long term, right? We don't get to choose what days matter in our discipleship, in investing in this younger generation. You may not lead people, you may not mentor people, you may not have anyone under you at work, you know, there might not be anyone that you feel like you're really influencing, but if you have kids, if you have grandkids, if you have nieces and nephews, if you have family in your life that you have a relationship with, you are leaving a mark. You are leaving a legacy. No matter what, you will leave a mark. So the question is, what kind of mark will you leave? And that's the question I posed for myself this morning and for us too. What kind of mark will we leave on our family? I hear the question a lot, like, you know, social media and certain things that I've gone to where they'll say, like, what's your legacy going to be? Will you leave a legacy? Will you leave a mark? You know, they want your money or they want your time or your energy or something, but will you leave a legacy? Yes, you will leave a legacy. You will. It's just what kind of a legacy, what kind of a mark will you leave? Paul talks about this as he talks about his disciple, Timothy. And he talks about it in reference to Timothy's family. So in his second letter that he writes to Timothy, he references his spiritual mark from his family. He says, you have a mark on your life that's from your family. It's in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 6. It says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I'm going to say that again. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It first lived in your grandmother Lois, then it lived in your mother Eunice, and now it lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The mark left on Timothy is the mark of sincere faith. It lived in his grandmother Lois. The mark of sincere faith lived in his mother Eunice. And they gave it to Timothy. Now in him resides the mark of sincere faith. And when I think about leaving a mark on your family and the kind of marks that we leave, I don't usually go to the spiritual mark first. Usually my mind goes to, immediately when I think about generational marks that we leave, I think of just physical attributes, right? How we look like generations in our family. And we see that in my family strongly. We have some strong Becker genes. There's Ron Becker and my husband Matthew Becker, and there's Jack Becker. And he is not my disciple yet. He's too young. He just, you know. He though, will become Pearl's disciple. That thought scared me. Matthew and I were talking about that. We're like, oh, wait. he's going to become a disciple of Pearl, and she doesn't leave spiritual marks. She leaves other kinds of marks and has. So there's, you can see the resemblance, right? When we think about, and if you saw a picture of my dad, some of you have met him, my dad and me and Pearl, you would see the resemblance too. It's not quite as strong as this. So you see, generationally, we leave a mark on our family physically and physical attributes. I think also about thinking about a place, right? We think about when you leave a mark on your family, it's like the plot of land where your family was, right? I remember years ago, my mom went to Ireland and saw kind of where her roots came from, the plot of land that the Gordons had. And we think about land, or we think about, you know, maybe it's the family farm that gets sold or that gets passed down, or a home that you own or a cabin or something. We think about money or places that represent generations and leaving your mark in a place. Or we think about, I think about occupations. Like, I know a family who, there is a whole line of teachers. It's like, that's the mark that our family is leaving. We're teachers, we're educators, and we're leaving a mark on kids and students. Or I know a family who's in healthcare, right? They're like, we're leaving a mark on the medical world. Or farmers, right? A farmer is leaving the farm to his son, and there's a mark somehow generationally in that family. But Paul's not talking about any of those things. Those are the things that our mind first goes to, but that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about a spiritual mark and leaving a spiritual mark for your family. And he's saying, Timothy, you've had a spiritual mark left on you by your grandma and by your mom. And it's clear through this simple statement, and I know this is a very short piece of scripture, so I'm inferring a lot, but it's clear, I think, in this simple statement in scripture that this idea of of the grandma's influence and the mom's influence has made Timothy the way he is, that this mark of sincere faith has really been pressed into Timothy. And now Timothy is this incredible follower of Jesus, and he has sincere faith himself. His grandma and his mom have left a profound mark on him. So what does it take to leave a significant mark on your family? What does that mean, to leave a spiritual mark on your family? I think the first thing that it takes to leave a significant spiritual mark on your family is intentionality. Many of you have heard this scripture, Proverbs 22:6, right? You probably know the King James Version. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And some of you are probably cringing at that, like, oh, I wish that was true, right? Because I know many of your stories, and I've prayed with many of you, and the Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? It's not necessarily a formula of this always happens, but there's wisdom in that you train up your children, and oftentimes you see that it matters and that they end up not straying from it or coming back to it. But I like that passage. I like that scripture because I like that idea of training up. It infers intentionality, that there isn't just a way that faith rubs off. Although it does, right? There's ways that you going to church, you being involved in Bible studies, you sharing about Jesus in your home, those kinds of things. Some of those things do just rub off. And as family, as parents and as grandparents, we rub off on our kids, right? I was just sitting next to my mom singing, and I can hear her harmony, and it sounds just like mine. I think, oh, that's another way. Like, she rubs off on me, right? And I see the same thing with Pearl. I think about how Pearl is with animals. I don't know if any of you have ever seen her around small, furry animals, but she gets this weird jaw clench, and she clenches her fists, and the love that she has is so intense and so aggressive. And I watch her, and I'm like, that's me. How does she learn that? It rubs off on her, right? There's all kinds of ways that we rub off on our kids and on our grandkids and our family. But there's a way that we have to be intentional when it comes to our faith, a way that intentionality accomplishes something that rubbing off doesn't. And so I think it's important as we think about leaving a mark on our family spiritually. We have to be people who are intentionally inviting our family into experiences with God, to church on Sunday and to and even just serving in the community and allowing them to see what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus to people and to care about people around you and to love your neighbors and to bring your kids and your grandkids along in that and to pray with them and to listen to their heart and to share scripture and stories with them from the Bible. There's ways that we have to be intentional, and we can't just trust that things rub off on our children and our grandchildren and our family. And the second thing I think it takes to leave a mark on your family spiritually is credibility. If you aren't living it out, if you don't have a faith that matters in your life, if you don't have a faith that is significant to you or that you talk about now and then or often, if you don't have a faith that you participate actively in, how would you expect that your kids or your grandkids or other people in your family would understand that it's important as well? So I think there's a way that we have to be convinced of God's goodness and convinced of our faith as well, in order to bring others along. Now, it's also good for your kids and your grandkids and family to see you wrestle and struggle in your faith and wonder about things. And that's important, and to ask questions and have doubts. That's as important, right? Because it shows that there's relationship. It shows that something's real that you've established. But there has to be some credibility. They have to see you doing what you're telling them to do. I think about Paul. In other places, he tells his disciples, he says, follow me as I follow Christ, you know, or be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. It's basically the same thing. He's saying, if you want to, I want you to follow me, so I have to do it first. Because guess what? Your kids and your grandkids and the people in your family or the people that you influence, they will follow you. So where are you leading them? Where are you going? Follow me as I follow Christ. And the third thing I see that it takes in order to leave a mark on your family spiritually is trust. I think it takes intentionality, it takes credibility, and then there's just an element of like, God, I trust you, and I trust that you're at work. I know just from sharing stories with many of you in this church and hearing your stories and even talking with a friend of mine this morning before church about a struggle that she's in the middle of with her daughter. It's not easy. And there's a way that we wish that formula of train up your kids in the way they should go and be credible and be intentional. And then voila, it happens. Your kids become great Christians and they love Jesus and they do the right thing. Even though Pearl is only 2.5, I know that that's not true. And I know that the long journey is ahead of me in watching Pearl grow and have a spiritual mark on her life. It doesn't always work out that way. And so that's why I think there has to be an element of trusting God and believing that it's not fully our responsibility, but that we have the responsibility to create a foundation. So there's a foundation that we give to our kids and to our grandkids and to our family. And there's a foundation that we lay, and then they get to choose. Do they want to build on it? Do they want to say yes? Do they not? And at that point, it's not your responsibility. And I felt like even last night as I was praying this morning and praying for you all and for first service and asking God what he wanted to do this morning and how he wanted to work in us, I felt like actually one of the things that I sensed was that he wanted to give freedom and release to people who felt guilt or burden about your kids or your grandkids. Maybe you felt like, oh, I've worked my tail off to leave a spiritual mark on my family, and they don't care. They've walked away, right? Maybe you have felt like, oh, I actually haven't done a great job of that. There were times when I did, but I haven't. I haven't done a great job of training up my kids or my grandkids or family or people that I influence into becoming Jesus followers. And I felt like God wants to say this morning, it's okay. There's mercy. There's a freedom. Some of us have focused, you focus so much on mistakes that you've made, and it's okay. God's mercy endures. because there are no perfect parents. Actually, there are, they just aren't parents yet, right? I remember Brent saying that. He's like, you can address the non-parents. He's like, they're the perfect parents. And so we will make mistakes. We will fail our kids and our grandkids. We will fail people that we influence. But God's mercy covers that. And there's a way that the foundation that we have built and laid, God is just good and faithful to continue to build. And some of you haven't seen that spiritual mark yet left on your family. You're still waiting to see that. And I believe that that mark is still there. We just might not be able to see. And that we can trust God to fulfill and to complete the good work that he has begun. So I want you to hear me saying, I mean, I'm sure some of you are looking at me like, you have a 2.5-year-old child. You have no idea what it's like to leave a spiritual mark on your family and how hard it is. And in many ways, I don't. In fact, Lynn often tells me in the office during the week, she says, put a bubble around Pearl. Homeschool her. Like, don't let her, you know, don't let her endure anything because the world is brutal and she might not be a Christian and, you know, all these things. So she's always telling me to put a bubble around her. And so I know that the hard work is still ahead. And I know that many of you have spent years in the hard work of praying for your kids or praying for your grandkids and trusting that God is at work in them, even if you don't see it. I love that promise in Scripture, in Isaiah 55, where it says that God's word doesn't return void, that when God's word goes out, it accomplishes what it's intended to accomplish. And so there's a promise even that we hold on to, that even though we don't understand or we might not see things, we can trust that God is at work. I think intentionality and credibility and trust are so important in leaving a mark on your family spiritually. And this is a big challenge for me as I parent. Like I said, with the other people that I've discipled or mentored or felt like I've been a part of life change for them, it's been because I set up the circumstance to be that way. This is different. This is me being fully me and my child watching me and me being intentional and credible and trusting God in the midst of it. And I was also thinking about, why don't we do this? Why are we so quick to think about legacy and leaving a mark as inheritance, as money, as land, as your will, right? It feels like, again, those are the things that come to our mind first and foremost when we think about leaving our mark on our family. And I think the reason that those are the things that come to mind is because those are ways for us to provide for our kids and provide for our family, right? When you think about leaving your inheritance, leaving your will, leaving a trust, taking care of your family financially matters because it's security, it's provision, right? You're like, I love you and I want to make sure that you are taken care of, and there's security in that. And there's comfort in that, and that's okay. That's true, and that's good, but I will say that those things are still not eternal, that your money doesn't last forever, your land doesn't last forever, your will doesn't last forever, but a spiritual mark on your family is everlasting. And so you may be sitting here and you're like, well, good thing, because I don't have much stuff to give. I don't have a lot in that will. You know, my kids are not going to receive a lot. My grandkids, they might not receive a lot. But your spiritual inheritance is everlasting. You leave a mark spiritually that's forever. And maybe some of you are saying, well, I do have a lot to give, Amy, so don't offend me. You know, this is a good gift that I want to give my kids, and I agree that it is. But what I will say is that I believe in my heart of hearts that it pales in comparison to you leaving the gift of a spiritual mark on your children and your grandchildren and your family. When you leave a spiritual mark on your family, it's eternal, and it lives forever. And I don't think that we fully understand what we have to give. So we give what is tangible. We give what we know. We give what makes us feel good and feel like we have security and comfort. And we don't realize what it is that we have in the kingdom of God to give our kids and our grandkids and our family and the people that we influence. Do you realize that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that you are God's beloved, you are loved, that you possess living water that never runs dry, that you hold the bread of life, that the Prince of Peace, the everlasting God, that our Father lives in you, that you hold hope and joy and salvation and restoration and healing and compassion and mercy and all the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You've been given the keys to the kingdom of God. You have the citizenship of heaven. That's a rich gift. That's a rich mark to leave for your family. That is not insignificant. That's an incredible spiritual mark to leave for your family. And that's what you have to leave, even if you don't have children. If you don't have children, you have that to leave as well, because those are things you own. And you can have spiritual children, right? You can have friends who you've welcomed into the kingdom of God. You can have other family. And it doesn't just have to be kids. You know, it talks about in Psalms that one generation will testify to the next generation. It's not just a spiritual mark that parents and grandparents leave on kids. That's in this passage. But we also know, and I've seen it, where kids leave a mark on their parents and on their grandparents. And where we have a mark on our family, it doesn't necessarily have to be grandparent and parent to children, but you leave an incredible spiritual mark on your family, and it lasts forever. I have incredible history. I have an incredible history of Eunices and Loises in my family on both sides of my family, on my dad's side and on my mom's side. I think about Arlene, and I think about Jack, and I think about Milton, and I think about Matthew's family, Gloria, a grandma who prayed for him for 23 years for him to know Christ. We have, in my own family, I've seen it and I've experienced it. And that's why, even though I'm really experienced on this end of it, I'm experienced on the other end of it. I know what it's like to receive a spiritual mark and how significant that is. There's nothing like it. There's no gift that my parents could give me. My mom's sitting right here. There's no gift that she could give me that would be better than me knowing God and God's love for me and knowing my worth and my value and my identity in Christ. I watched my parents sing and worship. I watched them do Bible studies. I watched them walk through hard things in the church and hard things in the faith. I watched my grandparents do devotions with us and gather us up to do special music and make us sing and all these things. But all those things made such an impact on me. And even when things weren't perfect, let me tell you, our family's not perfect. I'm sure yours is, but ours isn't. And even in the midst of my parents being intentional and credible and trusting God, there were a lot of imperfections along the way. It happens. I'm living it out now. But God is so good. And God's love covers a multitude of sins. And there's a way that God uses all kinds of circumstances and situations in our life to leave that spiritual mark. And so even if you feel like you're doing a bad job of it, keep going. Keep trying. Keep being intentional with your kids, with your grandkids, with friends around you. Keep trusting and keep living it out yourself, because there is no greater gift that I could have ever received in my life than the gift of a spiritual mark, knowing God's love for me and having relationship with Him. In fact, my dad recently has been, we have a cabin in Minnesota that's the Chef family cabin, and for years, as little kids, we went and we swam and fished and played there and have lots of good memories there. And lately, he and his siblings are talking about, should we sell it? Feels like sacrilege to sell it, right? But and like this could be inheritance for our kids, or this could be something for them to hold on to as a memory, as a mark of our family, of our chef family. And he asked me, how would you feel if we didn't have it? And I remember, you know, I felt a moment of sadness, but I told him, I don't care. I just don't care. Because you've given me something so much more significant. You've left a mark on me spiritually because of the heritage of faith that's been passed down. And that's what I'll remember anyway. And that's what's long-lasting. And then that's what I get to give to Pearl. And now I know that there's no better gift that I can give to Pearl than for her to know that God is good and that God loves her. We've been in a trend now at night where she's really getting into like singing and music, and it's pretty sweet. So at night, we rock, and we talk about our day, and then we sing some songs, and there's these really annoying nursery rhymes, like one called Baby Shark. Some of you might have heard of it. There's all these songs that she loves to sing, and then inevitably, she'll always say, Mom, sing one of your songs. And what she's talking about is when she was a baby, just a brand new tiny little baby, she was not a good sleeper like Jack is, and it would take a lot to get her down. And I would sit in her nursery, and I would rock, you know, like that aggressive rock, like, come on. And when I'm stressed out, when I need to feel peace, I'll sing, I'll worship. And so I would sing to her, and I remember I would sing that Gaither song, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. And I would sing the old chorus, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. And it hit me the other day, I'm like, you know where those songs came from? My mom, my dad, my grandma, my granddad. Like those were family songs that were passed to me. And now I sing those to Pearl. And she says, Mom, sing your song. And so I sing, God is so good. And then I can just hear her tiny little voice just singing along with me. And she's just singing in her sweet little voice, God is so good. And it touches me because even in her little 2.5-year-old heart, she doesn't fully know what that means yet. But I see a mark being put on her life. And when she's older, she might stray from it. I can't guarantee. When you work with people, you can't guarantee results. You know, and I can't guarantee what Pearl will do. But I know that right now, there's a mark that's being left on her, and that it's somehow affecting her. It's a gift that we have, a spiritual mark that we get to give to our families. And so I want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge you in this room, no matter where you are in the spectrum. Will you continue to be intentional and be credible and trust that God is at work in your children and your grandchildren and your parents and your siblings and your nieces and your nephews and your family? And will you be a part of creating that spiritual mark on your family? If you look at just the very end of this brief little passage where Paul is talking to Timothy about his grandma and his mom. He says, now I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm telling you to remind you of the gift of God that's in your life. And I'm telling you to fan it into flame. And so maybe some of you here this morning, this isn't just about, you know, thinking about passing on a legacy, but it's a reminder this morning for you. Who was your Lois? Who is your Eunice? And to take a minute and to thank God for those grandmas and those mamas. I love that the women get the shout out here, I'm not going to lie. I'm sure there's some spiritual papas in there too. But I love this. I love that God gives us this picture because many of us have that. A grandma and a mom who've prayed. And maybe this morning you just need a reminder of the legacy, the mark that's been left in you. And it's, you don't want it to stop with you. You don't want to hoard it, right? Or you don't want it to fizzle out. Life gets busy and priorities change. And it's so easy for faith, for sincere faith, like Timothy talks about, to just fizzle out, to die. But I think there's an invitation this morning to remember our grandmas and our mamas and the spiritual mark that's been left in our hearts and in our life, and to fan that into flame, and then to pass it on. So this morning as we close, I'm going to offer prayer up front as we have been doing many weeks now. Maybe some of you are in the throes of watching your adult children walk away from God, and it's hard for you, or it's painful, or you don't understand, and you just need encouragement. We want to pray for you this morning. Come up front as we close with a song, and we'll pray for you and bless you. And we'll stand with you to say we trust God that what foundation was laid will be completed. Or maybe you need hope inside yourself. Maybe you're remembering the mark that's been left on you, and now you need to fan that into flame. You've let that mark fizzle and fade, but you need to fan it into flame. We want to pray for you this morning. And the other thing I thought is I want to thank those of you in the room this morning who've been a Lois and a Eunice for so many people, who have faithfully prayed and been an example and a witness so that generations would know the love of God and God's goodness. And so maybe as we close in prayer and as we sing a hymn, maybe you utter those names and thank God for those people in your life and those people even in this church, in this spiritual family.